Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Bez Hashem Shalom Bayis, Shir number 568. And we're talking about Kedusha. We're in the middle of discussing the Stipler's introduction to Kedusha in order to understand marital intimacy. And he's going now into the practical expressions of Kedusha. So here's an example. There's a physicality of a cow plowing a field and threshes grain for its owner. This is the way of the world. It's not evil in any way. The cow's owner is using his Jewish holiness. Then he takes this cow and brings it as a carbon in Yerushalayim. All of a sudden, this cow, it's a joke, holy cow, it literally becomes one, and now becomes a carbon. And now it's connected to an upper realm. And the cow's owner may not use this carbon while it's still alive for any work activity anymore, nor may he benefit from its milk or its wool or from the offspring. That separation, that requirement of separation, is not removing it from evil. It was never evil in the first place. There's nothing evil in a cow doing work. But rather, since now it transcends to a new level of holiness, it needs to separate from that mundane work that's not fitting for that uplifted state of the carbon. So this is the idea in marriage of Kedushin, where a wife now is no longer a single woman, lifts herself by the Kedushin in an uplifting state of holiness that strengthens her connection with the upper realm through her new connection with her husband. So therefore, this is a separation from possible theoretical intimate activities from other men. Now she's designated to this one person. This separation is not something intrinsically evil. Before marriage, she could have chosen any man she wanted. But now that she chose one and there was a kedushin that took place, she ascends to a new status of being mekudeshes to that husband. She's in a higher realm of holiness now, separating herself from other marriage possibilities that till now would have been acceptable. She could marry any man she chooses. And now she chose one that puts her in a higher realm. So a regular cow is used for plowing, has a certain connection to holiness to a certain degree, becomes a carbon, it receives new light. Lahavdil, a woman set aside for marriage now to one husband in a kedushin, has a greater connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's holy light if she lives within that relationship. And the husband, of course, as well. So the whole creation is holy. And when used properly, it's elevated to make a higher connection to Hashem. So that's why we have a blessing with every mitzvah, Asher Kedushanu B'Mitzvayis V'Tzivanu. It sounds from the Reishis Chachma, the Stipler says, that the Kedusha is from doing the mitzvah that allows one to enter Gan Eden. That's the world you receive in the next world. So why do you mention Kedusha? And he explains that there are two parts to every mitzvah. One is to be Mekayim, the mitzvah of Hashem, to do his will in that act, and you do it. And through that, you achieve a certain completion as a result of this mitzvah. So every mitzvah has two points. The commandment of the king, do the wills of the king, because that's what he commanded, and completion. There's a shleimus. There's a unique quality of completion that uplifts the person doing that mitzvah. It's not the completion, the shleimus, which is Kedusha, is not an extra benefit. It's part of the mitzvah itself. The commandment itself brings God's holy light to the holy world, to the holy lower world, and our neshamas. And the Nefesh HaChaim brings us down in Shar Aleph Perek Vav, in a note there, of Asher Kedushanu B'Mitzvayisav, or we say Katshenu B'Mitzvayisecha, sanctify us with your mitzvahs, that at the time it enters a person to perform the commandment, there's an imprint above that draws down onto a person, a Ur Makif, a light of sublime holiness, Huloyla Ezer, which gives him a help, ligmar a mitzvah, to finish the mitzvah. So while you may believe that while Christianity, now here's the problem, even a learned person may believe, yes, Christianity teaches that the physical world is intrinsically evil. And the Torah does teach that, no, it's not evil, that the physical world can be holy through the commandments of the Torah. But still people have it in their minds that the physical world is naturally evil and needs to be brought up to Hashem to become holy. And that is a mistake. The physical world is not evil at all. It's all in Hashem's reshus. We don't need to return it to him. It never left him. It never left his ownership. It's just in a quality of lack of shleimus. It's not evil. Now you could make poor choices that could bring it into that negative realm, but be'etzem it's not evil at all. It's in the reshus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, when Adam Rishon ate from the Eitz Hadas, the physical world was damaged, and it's harder to unify it. But this confused perception of Kedusha really throws people on a loop and creates a tremendous amount of misunderstandings. Now, on the Reishis Chachma on Shar Kedusha, number 16, chapter 16, when he talks about it finally, he explains that very carefully, listen carefully, this is extremely important, and the stipler brings this down. He said, before he starts, that we won't bother ourselves to copy all the words of Chazal that were already copied in the Sefer Menoras HaMa'ar by Rabbi Yitzchak Abuav. Rabbi Yitzchak Abuav wrote a beautiful Sefer, Menoras HaMa'ar, collecting all the Mamari Chazal on all types of midas, including the Zivik. I'm not going to do this, the Reishis Chachma says. I'm relying on you to look at that. I'm going to tell you different things from the Zohar, from Shem Bar Yochai, scattered all over the place. I'm going to gather that. So in other words, if you look just at the Zohars that were put together in Reishis Chachma and you don't know how to connect them to the teachings of Chazal, you'll get a messed up picture. And you'll miss his main warning. You need to know these Chazals first. You need to understand these Chazals and the fundamental aspects of Kedusha before going to Reishis Chachma Perek Tesayin. So the idea is, the Zohar says, the idea is that he is one. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one. And when a man and a woman become sanctified in a holiness, right? Where do you have the oneness? Where are you one and not in another place? When are you considered a one person, a unified person, a one? When there is a man and a woman, and sanctified in the high holiness of their union. Come and see. When a person is engaged in a unified connection, a man and a woman, and have the proper intention to become holy, that's when he is complete, they are complete, and the ikri echad b'leipigimot, and they're one without a flaw. That's kedoshim to you. So people say, avoid physicality, and you'll get to Kedusha. The Zohar teaches you the exact opposite. Be physical together. The greatest holiness is achieved through the holy union of a physical union between a husband and a wife, that they can attain that Kedusha through their physical intimacy, through their sexual intimacy. So their ultimate intimate unification is the greatest expression of their unity, not the separation, but their unification. And that's when the Shekhinah dwells on them, when they are together physically, sexually, not when they're not. And that holiness strengthens their connection to Hashem's holy light, allows them to transcend and to unite the lower into the higher. So the Zohar basically points out from this Zohar three different parts of a couple's unification. There's a certain completion, shleimus, and perfection. Then there's a oneness, and also without a flaw. There's nothing lacking. Kol ha'noig min egzel lo yidai shekiddush nafshe v'tir atzmi v'tikin de'yosav. That he will sanctify his soul, purify his soul, fix his character traits. And therefore, there are three steps to this in the Zohar. Lemechdei le'ishtoi, to make his wife happy at all times, and specifically at that time, when they're together. Or lezamnen lo beru'usachada imei, to prepare her to join with him in one will, where Pius is a connection with that. V'yiskavnu tavaya kechad lahumila, and they must join together for this unity. So again, the Zohar has three steps to this intimate union. Number one, to make his wife happy at the time of the union, arousing her joy. That's what the Chazal call Simchas Aina, which we explained in Lesson 2. Simchas Aina, the joy of her time, the Pius, and all of that can to get her to that point. Simchas Aina, that's number one. Number two, the mutual desire. Once you have that, to create a mutual desire for the union, the continuous Pius, for her to desire intimacy with her husband, which we explained in lesson number three. And then the third point is, they're both combined intention to create a great unification, to become one with each other, and to become one. Kadeshtachu tavayu kechad, when they're joined as one, kedein kulu chad, then they're one, benafsha, in soul, uvegufa, and in body. Being one in body is part of the Kedusha and the Aina. Ben Napsha, what does it mean to be one in soul? Listavka Dabida, to bind this soul to the other soul. Beru'usa Chada, with one will and desire. By the way, the kissing and the breath is a physical manifestation of the connection of the souls. Uva Gufa and body, K'may Dalfinen, that we learned. The Bar Nashle Nosiv Commandis Palik, a person who's not married, a man who's not married is like half a person. The Kad Mischavran Dochav and Nukva, when there's a unified male and female, Kedene Savidu Chad Gufa, then they're made one body. Ishtachak the Inu Chad Nafsha, they're one soul, the Chad Gufa, and they're one body, the Ikri Bar Nash Chad, and they're called one person. So you see here, there's a unification of souls, to unify your soul, to transcend your boundaries, to become one person. And there's a unification of bodies, the male body and the female body. They're both part of one whole. They're really one human body. And the ziva creates that manifestation of that one human body. And this is just continuing desire. He dwells in that one. He dwells in that couple's unity. Ruach Kedusha Bahu Echad, and the Holy Spirit goes to the child that results from the unification, and they're called Menin de Kutche Berichu, they're called the children of Hashem. That's what Rabbi Akiva says, which we explained all the way in Lesson 1, Ish v'isha zachu, if they merit it, Shechina b'neim, the Shechina will be there, and if not, not. And the Maral, Ki Ish v'isha, Kol Echad Mem Chelek Adam, they're both a part of Adam, together they're in Adam HaShalom, right? And Hashem is, his name is on something that's complete. So when they unify, the shame of Hashem is Chal Aleihem. Shame, kasher yischabru yachad, when a couple unifies together, Shemai yisbara Chal Aleihem. The name of Hashem falls on them, is on them. And that's why Yikadosh Adam es atzmei b'shas tashmish, when he sanctifies himself by tashmish. It's taharis hamash machshava. It's a purity of heart. Shelo yachshav b'isha acheres, v'lo b'dvar mecherim, rak b'ishtai. You remove your thoughts from any other woman or any other thing. Rak b'ishtai, only your wife. So the stipple explains clearly from his words. Holiness is not thinking high thoughts of combining names or physical, or separating from the physical desire towards your wife. It's the opposite. It's intensifying the physical desire towards your wife, but rak be'ishtoi, only your wife. V'yikadosh atzmei b'shas tashmish v'yachshoi be'ishtoi. This is the Rabbeinu Yoina in the end of Brachas page daf gimel. V'yachshoi be'ishtoi. He has to think towards his wife and the wife towards the husband. That is the unification. Any thoughts outside of that will break that unification. So that is the idea. It's focusing on the couple's unity together. It's a chelik of bein adam lechaveiro between a husband and wife. It's a chelik of bein adam lemakom as well. It's an internal work between you and God, like every other mitzvah. It's a very, very important point. And the idea is that we have a bris nesuin, a covenant of marriage, that a couple works with one another to do everything they can to maintain their union and loyalty to one another, to be mekadesh shem shemayim that way, to bring back Hashem Echad. That's really the deepest purpose of this union. You're bringing back the Hashem Echad. Hashem is one. It's manifested in the oneness of Shemayna Esrei and of the Zivug. The Baal Shem Tov equates the two because it's based on the Zohar that equates the two. And they become a kisei, a dwelling place of the Shekhinah that enjoys their unity. Not like Bilam HaRasha, who said that Hashem is disgusted by it. But no, Hashem has nachas ruach from it. When it's exclusive, husband and wife alone, to achieve that, then it's the most beautiful thing in the world. And Metz Hashem, in the upcoming shiur, we're going to talk about the healthy concept within Kedusha, the healthy aspect of Tznius by a married Jewish woman's life. Bracha v'atzlacha.